And we're done.
And that's it. Yeah, thanks for... Welcome back to the Desert Springs Church Podcast. It exists to supplement the ministry and growth of the body here at Desert Springs Church. My name is Drew. I'm here with Chase and Alex, and we want to talk about growth. That is one of the reasons we do this podcast, and one of the reasons we do all the ministries that we do. More specifically, we're going to talk about this year's emphasis. We have had a different emphasis over the last several years. We've had prayer, service, evangelism, and now we are calling this year's emphasis Deeper Together. So Chase, why don't you start by explaining what Deeper Together means? What is this initiative for 2024?
Yeah, the name comes from our mission statement that Desert Springs Church exists to spread God's glory broader and deeper. And I think we all know what we mean by broader, but what does it mean to spread God's glory deeper in the context of the church? And when we say that, we mean that not only do we want the word to go out, but we want disciples and members of our church to grow in their depth of knowledge of God's word. And you see that reflected in our priorities on Sunday morning, the way that we preach, the songs that we sing, but just in the structures and the ministries and the things that we think it is worthwhile for our church to do. We want our church to always be growing deeper in their knowledge of the Lord and their glory of the Lord. So we were thinking about that and that mission that we have as a church, but also thinking that growing deeper is not something that happens individually. It's not something that we just want every disciple to themselves be growing deeper, but that growing deeper happens together. It happens in community. And so another word that we have been using to talk about this emphasis for the year is just discipleship, this culture of the members of our church intentionally helping one another go deeper. And so that's the goal, that's the hope that we have with Deeper Together.
Yeah, so it's kind of the end of the Matthew 28, the Great Commission, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. That's the deeper part.
Right.
So baptizing them, bringing them into the church, and then helping them to grow in their obedience and love for Jesus.
That's right, and that's something that we should expect to see as Christians. You know, you think of the book of Hebrews, it says that babies drink milk, but then they go on to eat meat. And in the same way, Christians should move from just basic understanding, that the basic understanding that you need to be saved, you should be maturing and growing into greater depth. And so that is something that every disciple, you know, we go out, we make disciples, they're converted, but then there's this work of teaching them. And as disciples, the word disciple comes from the word that just means to learn. So Christians are lifelong learners. And that's what we should be pursuing, and not just for ourselves, but then we should take a real concern for our fellow Christians. Hey, are they learning? Are they growing? And wow, that's my responsibility, especially as a fellow member in this church. That's my responsibility to help them, be helping them learn and grow and mature as a disciple.
To grow up into the head,
that's
into
right.
Christ.
Yeah.
So why not just call the emphasis discipleship?
That would be boring.
Oh, okay. So we're fun. We're fun around here.
Exactly.
We like to have fun.
Somebody's got to, you got to remember it, you know?
Deeper.
That's right.
Together.
Yeah. And it's gotten a lot of positive
reviews.
I'm
working on a
jingle.
Yeah. So we'll have a jingle for it.
A deeper song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
deeper
great.
Together. Yeah. That's good. So with each initiative for each year, we've kind of had some kind of programs or structures or other things that we've provided. Along with praying more and evangelizing more. We had two in 22. We had some more outreach initiatives. What are we doing this year for providing structure for growing deeper together?
Well, yeah, I think one thing is that we're actually not doing new things. We are trying to highlight what we're already doing. So for that, we might turn over to our
discipleship pastor. Let's turn it over to our discipleship pastor. Yeah. So, Alex, tell us. Tell somebody new to Desert Springs, what are the current discipleship opportunities?
Yeah.
And how would you rank them from your favorite to your least favorite?
Oh, my favorite's the membership class.
Okay.
I just like teaching it.
All right. You know,
But I think the language that is used a lot these days is a discipleship pathway, that if someone's coming to your church, what are all of the things intentionally aimed to take them from being a young Christian to a mature Christian. And I think it'd be wrong of us to act like the membership class isn't the first step on that pathway.
Yeah.
That you link arms with us, you commit, you covenant, you share belief and you share a mission with the rest of our body.
And so, you enter into membership with your eyes open as to what you're committing to, what's required of you to be a member.
Yeah. So membership class, community groups, equipping classes, those are significant. They hit different aspects of the Christian life. Community groups are really getting at accountability, fellowship, which I just use that as a verb, or I thought of it as a verb. Sorry, Drew.
That's okay. It can be. It can be very verby.
Yeah,
it's kind of like love.
It's a verbal noun.
Yeah, yeah.
but yeah, so community groups hitting the need of fellowship, friendship, community, care when life, when the hard things of life come. Equipping classes addressing Christian thought applied to various aspects of the Christian life.
Which that's part of discipleship, growing in knowledge.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And then knowing that our knowledge is going to impact how we respond to all the various situations we find ourselves in.
Yep. We got to know the commands to obey them.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and just know there are going to be things in sermons that we will only be able to address for 3 to 5 minutes if we're going to keep the main thing of the passage the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And where else will we get a robust view of how to steward finances?
Yeah.
We won't do sermons topically over how to address finances, but that's where equipping classes.
Yeah. We tried to do that some with this podcast.
Yeah.
But this podcast is a one-way street, and these classes are an opportunity to be in a class format, ask questions, interact with the other people in the class, get to know people that way, and get to know the teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that togetherness aspect to the equipping classes, that you're with other people there. And then it was intentional that we left 30 minutes in between the class and the start of the service.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're getting to meet those people, talk to those people, maybe say, hey, what do you think about that thing that Randy just said?
We're praying together for one another.
Yeah.
So there's so many one really anothering happening, right? So yeah, those are significant ones. We also have men's ministry, women's ministry, and then other things like counseling. You know, it gets a little narrower with counseling or grief share, but still there's a litany of ministries that we try to all put together to fill all the holes.
Doesn't Pastor Keith call biblical counseling kind of acute, intense discipleship over a really specific need of suffering or struggle?
So all that to say, there's a variety of ministries that we kind of see on the pathway of helping someone grow from being a young Christian to being a mature Christian, going from milk to solid food.
Cool.
And so, yeah, every one of those we want more people to press into.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. I don't think we, as we thought of what we needed to do this year, we would, but we're having a lot of good conversations about how do we make the membership class better? How do we make progress with community groups? We're redoing a handful of things for men's ministry this year. Brandy is continuing to do great things with the women's ministry. And so it really feels like all these discipleship ministries are getting a little added boost or thought more deeply about kind of in conjunction with this year.
That's great. Yeah. So it sounds like we have a lot already going on. So we're not doing anything else. We're not doing anything different. We're saying get plugged into one of these discipleship ministries that already exists.
Well, I think, yes, we are. That we really, I think I would love to see a higher percentage of our church involved in more of these things because I think they're really useful. They're not necessary. And Alex, you have a good way of talking about this that, you know, the necessary deeper together ministry is the Sunday gathering.
Yep.
You know, that we should all do that. But then these other things are supplemental, but they're really helpful. And so we do want to encourage people to that. But as we were looking at that kind of discipleship pathway and making sure that there were, that you know, that each of these ministries was serving particular needs in our church, I think one area where we felt like we might need more structure, that there's a need that isn't being met by our structures, is just some way to facilitate smaller group discipleship happening, you know? So equipping classes are wonderful, but it is still one person talking to a room of 100 people and then interactions after that. But we know that there is so much value in one-to-one meetings with between Christians, or just small, very small groups of, you know, 3 to 5 Christians meeting together on really kind of an equal footing and just reading the Bible, praying, holding one another accountable. That's something that we value. I know many people in our church are already doing that. But I know that for other people in our church, that's something that without a structure, it would be very intimidating for them to step into. Maybe they've never seen it before. They don't know how to get like connected with somebody else that knows what they're doing in that. And so that was where we came up with this idea of adding a structure called growth groups. And so that's just what I described. They're small groups of the same gendered people that would meet together for a specific amount of time just to be in those closer relationships with one another over the Bible, praying together. And you know, it can be so intimidating in our church where there's, you know, 800 people gathered together on a Sunday morning to feel like, am I responsible for all of these people? Mm-hmm. Well, we want to kind of take what can feel really large and just make it smaller and say, you know, you're not going to know intimately every single person that's there on a Sunday, but you can get to know really well four other people. Mm-hmm. And so let's do that and do, you know, help hold your hand a little bit. I've said that I've grown a lot in being bold and willing to just go up to strangers and have awkward conversations with them. But when I was a younger believer, if you had said, hey, you should just go find somebody to meet with and read the Bible with that you don't know, there's never, no way would that have happened. I would have been so intimidated by that. But some kind of structure that says, hey, we're just going to pair you guys up. And that hard, awkward work of like meeting somebody, that's already done. So now you guys just meet and we'll give you basic instructions. Here's what you do.
Okay.
So those are growth groups.
That's great. Talk more about a growth group. What it would be like? How many people would a growth group be? You mentioned three or four maybe. And then what specifically somebody could expect to do or be asked to do as part of a growth group? Alex?
Yeah. So as Chase said, 3 to 5 people, same gender. We're encouraging them to meet weekly for about 12 weeks. So this isn't a forever commitment anyone's making. It runs from about March to May. And then in May, there's a chance to reevaluate. And so each of those weekly meetings, we hope is from an hour to an hour and a half, and is covering a handful of things like talking about what Bible passages you've been reading that week. So we're hoping groups kind of agree to read through the same set of scriptures together, and then throughout the week they're reading it, reflecting, taking notes, making observations.
Got it.
And then come and say, hey, this is what stood out to me.
Or so they're not reading it together. They're not coming together and sitting there and reading.
Yeah, that's right.
Reading's so, like the homework, do that,
yeah,
and then come to the group to discuss what you've read.
That's right. So, and even the point there is not to try and teach each other, but just say, hey, this stood out to me, or I didn't know what this meant. Do you guys have any sense of what this means? Or but I think the biggest thing in that group is that there's accountability of, did you read and what did you get from it? Mm-hmm. So it's not just checking the box, but some kind of, even if your interaction is, I don't know what this meant, just that you're coming saying, I gave it my best. I looked at it. I paid attention to it, and I need help from you guys to help me make sense of this. So some sense of reading, praying for one another, holding each other accountable. So I think one great thing people could do from every week of reading is to come back and say, here's one thing I really felt convicted would honor the Lord in my life that I'm not doing, or a conversation I need to go have, or a thing I need to stop doing.
Yeah.
Can you ask me next week how that's going?
Yeah.
And then it's on the group to say, all right, well, Jim said this and Joey said that. And so next week I'm going to ask all these guys how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd love if there's scripture memory or something like that. That's not robust where you're doing a whole chapter, but a couple verses or maybe a verse a week, and everybody's coming together to say, yeah, we're working on this with each other. We're helping each other do these basic devotions and disciplines of the Christian life. And the aim is both instruction and growing in relationship with each other, that there's more friendship happening there, and that a year from now, after that group's been going on, that those people are closer and can bear burdens with one another, and a deeper love for God's word and the church.
Yeah. We've been using those three words in this initiative.
Yeah.
Tell us about those, Alex.
Yeah, that we would have deeper knowledge of God. So the Christian life is not just a growing of the mind, but it's not less than that either. Mm-hmm. As we mature as Christians, we know more of who God is. And we do that by seeing how God's revealed himself in his word. So we want people to grow in their knowledge of the word and who God is through the word. And then we also want people not just to grow there, but to grow in love. Christ says the greatest two commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor. And we would be amiss to want to disciple people and have them not grow in those two things.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see that happen. And that happens in community and in God's word. And then also we want people to grow in relationships. Yeah, we recognize we're a larger church.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet we're a family, and so we want that family feel to be spread through all of our members, even if we're a larger size church.
Yeah,
and relationships come through intentionality with one another, and even authenticity with one another.
Yeah.
You know that you can genuinely talk about who you are, what you've got going on, what you know, what you don't know, and then with that knowledge too, that as we're growing in our knowledge, I mean, this is what counseling is, right? Is you are taking your knowledge of the scriptures and bringing it to bear to someone else, another disciple who needs it, who needs to hear it to apply it to some issue in their life. So even as we're growing in knowledge in relationship, we can use that knowledge to help other people in relationship. And why do we do that? Because we love them, because we love Jesus and his glory, and because we love this person in Christ's church. We want to use our knowledge in the relationship to help them grow. So yeah, that's what we've been praying
for. That's great. You just mentioned a little bit growing in our knowledge of God's word so that we can counsel one another, so we can all become like lowercase biblical counselors. Mm-hmm. What from both of you guys, I'd love to hear, what are your hopes that the effects will be at the end of 2024? Mm-hmm. What do you hope for and have a vision for the growth that will happen? What will that growth look like at DSC if people really get in on this initiative?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is more church discipline, maybe more and less church discipline. So I don't mean formal removal of members from the church, but I mean much more of the one another kind of correcting that Jesus envisions in Matthew 18. That
step one,
that, you know, your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault and gain back your brother. That first level of discipline, I just think, needs to be happening more and more in a healthy church.
And it does, because we don't always hear about it. So
right.
In a healthy church, that is happening as Christians confront one another and are reconciled.
Right.
It happens all the time. I just had a meeting this morning where that happened. Hmm. And so it's happening all the time, but it doesn't get to the public phase. We think church discipline is capital C, capital D, excommunication.
Right. That's the only category. But Jesus has these levels of it. And so I say I want both more and less church discipline. Not that we have rampant removals, but if that first level of discipline is happening, it keeps sin from getting to the point where, or just as pastors. I mean, we are in it with people that are really struggling, and we're happy to do that. But I think there are a number of cases that, man, if another brother or sister could have addressed this 6 months ago, then maybe it wouldn't have gotten to this point that you guys are needing to get this now. And so that we are all kind of doing that biblical counseling, I think would just promote so much health in our church.
And church discipline, I mean, discipline often has the negative connotation, but it also has the positive of us correcting and encouraging and exhorting and rebuking. All of that can be a positive way of disciplining each other and discipling each other. Yeah, very closely related
like
words.
Words are related.
What about you, Alex? What do you hope to see from this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, we've said already those three things we're praying for of knowledge, love, and relationships.
What would that look like?
Yeah, no, that's right. But I think on level, I think we'd all love to see greater participation in the life of our church. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think any of us would be sad. Not that we're aiming for numbers, but there's at least something quantifiable of community groups being, more people being in community groups. Women's ministry having more women in it. Men's ministry having more men going to the events.
Yep, more equipping classes full.
Yep,
Sunday gathering being full of our members.
And once again, not just because things are large, but because these things are helpful and good for the life of our church. And I think the signs of a healthy church are involvement and engagement and participation. So I think that, but I would love to see our church grow in a culture of wanting to invest in each other.
Yeah.
I know we have a number of people who are doing that intentionally and purposefully. Yep. And I would just love to see that team of people that make it their ambition to invest in others just double and triple.
Just a culture of these one-on-one discipling relationships that are organic, that come about just through our individual members' initiative. And it doesn't require any structure, doesn't require any sign-up sheets. It's just people doing the work of the ministry that they've been equipped to do.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited about growth groups, is people don't engage in these kind of relationships or even groups like that, just because they've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And so it's intimidating and they don't really appreciate the value of it. But once you do it and then you see, oh, this is just wonderful.
This is it.
Then you can have a lifetime of doing it a bit more informally, you know, and you just know how to, I've had throughout my Christian life, I've had so many different variations of intentional, formal or informal kind of discipleship relationships. You know, Randy Pierce was reading the book of Genesis with me once a week, and that was very formal, you know, and here's a much older, godlier man. Mm-hmm. You know,
You could have read Genesis by yourself and gotten some of that out of it, but having that older, godly man walk with you through it was just a, I imagine, just an encouragement and help and a support.
And it was, and for those other things, we prayed together, there was accountability, there was confession, there was applying those things. And you know, so that was very formal. But now I think even just because I've been able to do this so much, I just approach lunch with another Christian very differently, you know, that I know how to make that lunch deeper together, you know. And so I think many people in our church might be sitting on the sidelines just because they've never done it before. And so we want to create a structure. I always think of structures in the church as kind of like T-ball. So I think I've used this illustration on the podcast before. But it's, you set the ball on the tee so that you can practice your swing. You can kind of get it figured out. But you don't have a 30-year-old still playing T-ball, right? Like it's just there to kind of learn the fundamentals. And then you can just swing away without all the structure there. And so if these growth groups are good for 12 weeks and then everybody kind of gets it and then it just multiplies through our church organically, then that's great. We won't do them anymore, you know? But we just want to help people play some T-ball so that they can get into the game.
Yeah, yeah. Or trellis and vine is another way we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. Building a trellis for that growth to accelerate and to have something to hold on to. But it's not always about the trellis. It's about the growth. Yeah. That's good. So as somebody's listening to this, who are these growth groups for? Do we expect every church member to be a part of these growth groups? Talk about who's our target audience for these growth groups.
Yeah. We certainly don't think every member needs to participate, though we welcome any member to come and participate in it. But yeah, I think our aim is that our church is growing deeper together. And if you want to reflect on your life and say, am I taking advantage of these brothers and sisters? That sounds terrible, taking advantage of my brothers and sisters.
In a good, in a righteous, godly way.
Yeah, am I stewarding the opportunity God has for me of being in this church with these people? And there are some who I need to learn from and some that I can help, right? And sometimes a person is both. Often they're both, right? Yeah. But am I taking advantage of the opportunity the Lord's given me and the relationships he's given me, and the ministries that are available to me.
Participation's another word. Yeah. Yeah. So koinonia could be translated fellowship or participation. So am I participating in the life of the gathering through some of these mechanisms, through Sunday morning? Am I participating? Am I just attending on Sunday morning, or am I participating? So I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. So I'd say, if someone's participating,
they may not need it.
I wouldn't want to burden them and say, you've got more to participate in.
Here's another thing to sign up for.
Yeah. But if you're not participating, I hope the burden on you is to, how do I engage more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you need that tee. Mm-hmm. You need that tee to hit the ball. You've never done a focused Bible reading or Bible study with another Christian before. This is perfect for you.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you don't feel well connected to the body, this might be good for you.
Yeah.
If you feel like you don't have those relationships that you could just ask a brother or sister to read the Bible with you, this is a perfect opportunity for us to kind of help bridge that gap and help, make that connection.
Yeah. Maybe one more pointed thing I'd say is if you haven't been in a consistent pattern of reading the Bible personally, this would be great for you.
This will be good accountability.
Yeah. Community groups are great for one thing. And yet I don't know if every community group is always going around and just saying, hey, what are you reading in the Bible this week?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're unable to do that with other things we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A group like this is going to do that. And so maybe this is what you need, is 12 weeks of the ball being put on the tee and encouragement and of help and you getting back into that rhythm to set you up for ongoing.
But also
pursuit.
For the more mature godly Christians in our church, this is for you to be matched up with more immature Christians or younger believers in our church that need to be discipled. So discipling has this aspect of following, and one leading and one following, this kind of mentor-mentee relationship. And so I think you should hear us saying, if you are experienced in handling God's word, this is for you to participate for the sake of others and for yourself. We learn as we lead. We grow as we lead, but lead to serve others so that they can then turn around and lead someone else after 12 weeks.
Yeah. So if you have been at our church a long time and you don't know who you're investing in right now, or if you say, I know I'm in this community group, but I haven't taken advantage of being, I haven't been very intentional to pull aside someone and get lunch, then maybe a growth group is a great place for you to start, to be connected with. And you trust the Lord's sovereignty of, I don't know who these people are, and the Lord will tell me by putting me with three other people who I need to be investing in and using, leveraging who I am, what the Lord's brought, what the Lord's instructed to me to help see them walk more faithfully with Jesus.
That's so good. And while you were saying that, I was thinking, we do have all of these different discipleship structures, and they really do. We have tried really hard to make sure these are focused in what they're accomplishing. And so you may need help discerning what's the best ministry for you to plug into. You might feel like, I only have time for one commitment a week. What is going to be the most worthwhile thing to be a part of? Come talk to a pastor about that.
Yeah.
You know, because for somebody it may be a growth group, but for somebody else it might be, hey, you should be in these equipping classes and just be learning a bit more. You know, and whatever it is. So we do. Drew, you mentioned the trellis and the vine. I kind of think of each of these as a distinct trellis for different kinds of plants, and every member.
They
need to discern, what trellis do I need to grow up in right now? And I think that's where the pastors can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as someone who thinks about Sunday morning gathering all week, just to double click, and you guys have both referenced this, that to not neglect the gathering, as Hebrews 10 talks about, and it is for stirring up to love and good works, which would just be another way of talking about discipleship and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It is the, I believe, primary means that we gather as a church and do these one another's. Mm-hmm. We are addressing one another in song. We are praying for one another with one another. We are hearing the word together. Mm-hmm. And even in our hearing, we're discipling one another and holding one another accountable to what we hear from the word preached. So,
and there's an expectation when we gather together that it's not only to sing and only to listen, but it's also to love one another.
Yes.
Like that, you know, in our context, before and after is important, you know? Yep. So if you're only coming at 10:05 and then you're leaving right when you're dismissed, then I don't think you're even there taking full advantage of what the gathering is.
Not fully participating in the Lord's day.
Right.
Because the gathering, the formal service is structured and it starts at 10 and it goes to 11:30. Mm-hmm. And those things are all really important and vital in our discipleship, corporate discipleship. But it is a forum for all of those other relationships to grow and to deepen before and after as well. And that's why we have the equipping class before and that time you mentioned in between. That's all time for this growth to happen. Mm-hmm. So if just more and more of our members are concerned about that, are intentional about their Sunday morning, about getting the most out of their Sunday morning with equipping classes, time in between for discipleship and encouragement, and then the gathering itself. If you're fully participating, you're singing, you're hearing, you're praying, you're reading, you're receiving God's word, I think that Christian would grow significantly. Mm-hmm. And then these other things are just great supplement for all of that.
That's right.
That wonderful growth we want to see.
Yeah.
All right, final details. How can somebody get plugged into a growth group?
We've got a website for it, dscabq.com/deeper. We've got some book recommendations on there. We've got kind of a longish article just explaining why are we doing this, what are our hopes with that. And then there is a form that you can fill out at the end that says growth group interest form. Mm-hmm. And we are just receiving those names right now. Once we get all of those names in, we're going to close that at the end of February. Okay. And then we're going to sit down, we're going to look at the list of all the people who have signed up, and you've given us just a little bit of information there for us to go on, and then we will pair you guys up and group in those groups, and then we will email you and let you know who your group is, give you some basic directions, and let you take it from there.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe one other thing I'd say is, if you're in a community group, or you're in a men's huddle, or you've got a group of guys or gals that you're friends with, just consider asking them to do it. You don't need to go through these formal structures.
Yep.
And you could, whether you're the leader of the group or not, just ask. None of us are ever going to tell you you can't get together with other Christians and read the Bible and encourage each other and hold each other accountable. And that's exactly what we're wanting to see happen, that more Christians would on their own take this onus and have this initiative to invest in others. And so that'd be totally in line with what we're hoping happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's other informal ways that I've already heard about. We had a sweet woman in our church invite my family over to dinner because of Deeper Together. And she just said, I just want to get to know people that are in my church. And so that was a great way. Just do meals with other people.
Just be hospitable.
Be hospitable and ask good questions and get to know each other. Schedule play dates.
If you're already doing this, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Don't hear us saying you've got to then get grafted into this formal structure. No, just keep going. Right. You're doing the work.
Yep. And if you need other ideas, you know, if growth groups won't work for you, again, just come talk to us.
Well, that's wonderful, guys. I'm really excited for this year and excited for this initiative. We've been saying for a long time 2024 is going to be great.
So far, it's been awesome.
It's going to be great. Yeah. So if you have any questions, you can reach out info@dscabq.com. Ask us any questions about growth groups. You can reach out to Pastor Alex as well for any other specific questions. But let's keep spreading God's glory broader and deeper together. That's how it ends.